Much is made of ability. It's very important. The ability for speed and strength and skill, intelligence during the game, and more. There are all kinds of abilities that make certain athletes preferred over others. Ability is what wins games. It's been said, though, that the greatest ability in sports is availability. You can't play the game and help your team if you are injured or if you're sick or absent for some reason. You must be available. The greatest ability is availability. And that's what some have said. I think there's a lot to that. In the spiritual realm, though, I think there's a greater ability than availability. But just like availability, the importance of this ability can be overlooked. In sports, skill and speed and strength get all the attention, while availability might be more important. And in the spiritual realm, there are other things that get more attention, but this ability is very important. And if you have it, it will drastically change your life. I'm talking about teachability. Teachability is very important. The word teachable means that may be taught, someone who may be taught, something that may be taught. It's apt to learn. It's also readily receiving instruction. Teachable. We know that children need to be teachable, but that they aren't teachable naturally. And adults really aren't much different. No matter how much we learn, there will always be much more of what we don't know than what we do know. You and I will always be in need of being taught, and that need won't be met if we're not teachable. I think about different illustrations of the problem with not being teachable, and there are different ways to illustrate this. I was reminded of this. We had a deacon's meeting recently just to talk about projects around the church grounds and out at camp and things that need to be done and different things to work on. And we were talking about the lawn and the soil on the property here and how aerating the soil is important. And I was asking why to better understand it. And I was told that the soil can become compacted and then the water and nutrients won't go down into it and so on. And that makes sense. That's pretty easy for us to understand. And when the soil is compacted and those particles of dirt and minerals and things are so tightly compacted to each other, the water just rolls off. The soil becomes dried out because it doesn't absorb any water. The rains come, but it just runs off. It doesn't soak in because it's so compacted. It doesn't absorb the nutrients and the life-giving rain that it needs. We know that our bodies can be different diseases and disorders that people suffer from, and as a result, their bodies don't absorb the nutrients from the food that they're eating. And what a terrible condition that is when you eat good, nutritious food, but your body just flushes all of that out and it doesn't absorb it. You can't benefit from that. And in a similar way, God sends the truth and the teaching that we need to be fruitful. But our proud and foolish attitude can so often reject it. And so we're receiving what we need. We're receiving what we need to grow in the Lord and go to higher ground and be used of God. And instead of receiving it and absorbing it and applying it, it just rolls right off our back, so to speak. We need to be teachable. A brilliant scholar who is not teachable is simply an educated fool. An energetic visionary who is not teachable is merely a foolish dreamer. A talented genius who is not teachable is just a skilled fool. Because these people they don't learn. They can't be taught anything. And you and I, and there's no one who is capable of learning and gathering all of what they need all by themselves. They don't need any help. They don't need God's help. They can do it all. There's no one like that. We need to be teachable. And most of us, I think, would not admit to being unteachable. No, I don't think any of us here would say, oh yeah, that's me. I cannot be taught anything. I think we would all say that we're willing to learn and be taught. Somebody would say, well, I'm teachable. Just the other day, you know, I learned something from so-and-so. We'd say, well, I'm teachable. I listen when my boss tells me to do something and how to do it. I'm teachable. I could give you several examples of things that I learned from other people. But I would suggest that our teachability is not found in whether or not we accept any instruction from others. The true test of teachability is our hunger to be taught. I am sure that any of us would accept instruction from people at least on occasion. But we can still fail to be teachable if we're not hungry to be taught. Here are some questions that might hit home. Do you need to be in a desperate situation before you are willing to be taught? Does knowledge need to slap you upside the head, so to speak, before you learn? Do you need to run out of ideas before you receive instruction? Do you need to be told to listen or learn before you will? In our text tonight, Solomon implores his son to be teachable and gives some compelling reasons why it is essential. And you and I need to heed these words as well. And so tonight, from the book of Proverbs, I want to ask you this question. Do you have a teachable attitude? Do you have a teachable attitude? Let's pray and then we'll read the text. Lord, help us to be teachable. You have ordained that we be taught. Ultimately, all knowledge and all teaching comes from you. If it's true and if it qualifies as real knowledge, it's all from you. And so you are the ultimate teacher. But you use so many different channels to teach us, and we must be teachable. Help us to have a teachable attitude. I pray that you would teach us tonight. Help us to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll read the first 9 verses, and we're not going to cover all 9 tonight. We're just going to cover the first 4, and we'll continue on with the second half of this topic of teachability next week. But Proverbs 4 verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." And we're going to look at the first 4 verses, as I said, and talk about a teachable attitude. What makes a teachable attitude? There are a number of components in these 4 verses that all are part of a teachable attitude. The right attitude is probably the single biggest component of teachability. Your attitude is important. It's essential. If you have the wrong attitude, listen to this. If you have the wrong attitude, you will intentionally reject the teaching that you need. And that sounds shocking. It sounds maybe impossible. What? I wouldn't do that. But if you have the wrong attitude, an attitude that is not teachable, you will intentionally reject the teaching that you need. And there are some critical factors in having the right attitude that we see here in Proverbs chapter 4. First of all, verse 1 says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." What makes a teachable attitude? Well, first of all, personal responsibility. Solomon says, "Hear, ye children, hear." The word "hear" means to give audience or allowance to speak. When you're in an argument with somebody, or maybe not you, this doesn't happen to you, but some people have arguments and they're shouting over each other and they won't listen to each other and they're trying to silence the other person. That is not hearing. You're not giving an audience. You're not welcoming some input, some speaking here. You're not hearing. Personal responsibility says, I am going to hear. I am going to receive. I'm taking responsibility. When people realize that something is going on that they neither need nor want, they tune it out. And maybe you've been in meetings like this. Maybe at work there have been meetings where two people are talking about something that has nothing to do with your job and you don't even understand it. It's all Greek to me, we know that phrase. And so you just tune out. You just, this can't help me. Hopefully you're not doing that right now. But people have done that before in church, I've heard. You know, maybe once or twice. You can tune out. And when you don't want it or you don't need it, it might be interesting, but you say, I'm too busy. I can't listen to this because I can't use it. It might be interesting. I can't use it, though, and I have other things I need to do. And you tune it out. A teachable person takes personal responsibility for their lives. Even though they may not enjoy hearing whatever it is, they choose to hear it because they are responsible. I may not enjoy being instructed. I may not enjoy being instructed on this part of my life. I may dislike this part of my life. Maybe you consider vehicle maintenance to be just mind-numbing. You have no interest in it, but you know that your vehicle will blow up if you don't do anything to take care of it. And so you try to do the bare minimum. Teachability says, no, I may not like this topic, but I need to know this. I'm taking personal responsibility. This is part of my life. This is part of my responsibility, part of what my job is. And so please teach me. I want to learn. I may not enjoy it or have fun with this, but I'm taking personal responsibility. Children must be induced or maybe even bribed at times to take interest in something. We have to coax them. They don't like it, and you really can't make them think about anything in particular. They're going to think about what they want to think. And so you go to different forms of motivation, negative and positive sometimes, because you're teaching them to take responsibility. Adults do this by choice in thinking or taking interest in something. You and I, we are responsible to do it by choice. I am choosing to be interested in it, not because it's fun. I'm taking personal responsibility. This is part of being teachable. I need this. I know that I need it, and I don't want to hear it really, but I choose to hear it because I'm taking responsibility for my life. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about this process of growing from a child to an adult. He says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And Solomon is saying, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of, you need to listen. I know you may not like it. I know you may have other things you want to be doing." We know that we can bemoan sometimes how children are in their 20s or 30s and they're still acting like children. They need to be taught certain things. They need to take responsibility, and they're refusing it because they don't want to. They don't like it. It's not comfortable, whatever their reason is. You and I, if we're going to be teachable, we need to take personal responsibility. Solomon is saying, "Hear, I can't make you listen. I can't make you think, but I'm imploring you. You need to listen to this. This is important." And then he says, "Hear, ye children." The second thing here as part of a teachable attitude is humility. He says, "Ye children." And I don't know how old these people were that he's speaking to. He often says, "My son." I honestly don't know why he said, "Ye children." But it makes me think about how you and I need to be humble. We need to view ourselves in many ways, view ourselves as children who need to be taught. Again, as I said, no matter how old you get to the end of your life, and the amount of knowledge that you have is just a speck compared to the amount of knowledge that you don't have. We always need to be taught. We will never arrive, we will never reach the point where we don't need to be taught anything anymore. Being teachable means being humble. We are like children in more ways than we like to think. A teachable person readily and regularly admits that they need to be taught. And it's good for us to admit it to ourselves, just to keep ourselves humble. Yep, I'm just going to remind myself, remind the Lord, not that he's forgotten, but it's for my benefit. Lord, I need to be taught. Would you teach me today? Would you help me to understand what I need today? Because I am just reminding myself, I'm like a child in that there is so much I do not know. There is so much I need to learn. A humble person, a teachable person, is not reluctant or even embarrassed to admit that they need to be taught, because they don't expect themselves to know everything. Why would I be embarrassed to admit an impossibility? I'm not embarrassed to admit that I don't know everything. It's impossible for me to know everything. I'm not embarrassed by that. I'm not embarrassed to admit that I need to be taught. Humility is so important. Humility is probably the most important and most difficult part of a teachable attitude. Being teachable starts with the attitude, and being humble is probably the most important part of being teachable. Are you teachable? Another way to ask that is, are you humble? Look at Job chapter 38. If you miss this, if you are not humble, you will not be teachable, because you will constantly be putting others beneath you because of your pride, and so you won't listen to them. You won't absorb anything from them. They don't have anything that can help you because you're not humble. Humility is so critical to being teachable. And if you don't have it, you will intentionally reject what God is trying to give you and what you need. Job 38, we know the story of Job. And as the book of Job goes on, Job is continually defending himself. And he doesn't start out this way, but he ends up being pretty self-righteous in many ways, and God humbles him. Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Ouch! Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Skip down to verse 18. Just one question after another. "Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all." And I don't think God was being snarky in his tone of voice. But you can just see, I think God was being sincere in that, here's your chance, Job. I'm listening. I will hear. Tell us. Give us your knowledge. But of course, they both knew there was no knowledge to give. There was no way to answer these questions. Verse 19, "Where is the way where light dwelleth? As for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great?" Well, of course not. There's no way. This is humbling. And God is humbling Job. Look at Psalm 139, verse 1. At the end of all of this, Job became humble and teachable. And he grew as a result. He moved on. He passed this test. And he is a good testimony to us. God has used his story for centuries and millennia since then. But it started with being humble, and that made him teachable. Psalm 139, verse 1. David says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You see the humility here and lifting up God? Lord, you know everything there is about me to know. You know it. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. We should just admit that. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If you have a proper fear of God, which means you being humble and lifting up God, you won't have too much trouble being teachable. But if you don't have a proper fear of God, you will be proud and you won't be teachable. We need to be humble. Humility is probably the most important part of a teachable attitude. The next one, and you don't have to turn back to Proverbs 4, we'll stay here in Psalm 139 for a moment, but the next part of a teachable attitude is submission. Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father." Submission. If we are going to learn and grow from instruction, then we must submit ourselves to it. It's one thing to hear. Oh, I'll listen to you. I may not do it. I may not think it's worth anything, but I'll listen. That's hearing. You're taking responsibility. You're giving it a chance. But if you're going to apply it and follow it, you have to submit to it. Hey, that's really good. I wish I had known that, but I'm going to submit my choices to what you just taught me because that is right. And I'm going to change what I'm doing to submit to that knowledge, to that truth, whatever it is. There is submission that is necessary. We must admit that what we used to know or used to do or used to think is inferior to what we have now been taught. We must subject what we have been to what we need to be. We must submit to the one who is teaching us in this way. You have something that I needed. Thank you. And now I'm going to put myself under what you said. It doesn't mean, you know, your child can teach you something. And you have to be humble and submit yourself. If they do teach you something, you have to submit yourself to apply it. It doesn't mean that your child is now your authority. Of course, you understand what I mean. But we do submit ourselves to accept and apply what that person is teaching us. It takes humility. And you might say, well, is this attitude that I'm talking about, it's submission, is that actually necessary to be teachable? Well, what about when your know-it-all coworker tries to teach you something? Do you want to follow it? Well, they're obnoxious. They always seem to have it. They always criticize everybody. They always know the right thing. And then once in a while, they're actually right. Well, I'm not going to listen to that. That'll just encourage them. That'll just enable them. I'm not going to do that. That'll give them the wrong idea. That's not their problem. That's my problem. I'm not humble. I'm not submitting. If it's right, and if it's what I needed, I'm going to take personal responsibility and humble myself and submit to that truth and apply it and grow from it. What about when your child, I mentioned this earlier, what about when your child points out your flaws and your errors? Isn't that embarrassing? Dad, you know, mom or dad, I thought we just heard this. Well, why aren't you doing it? Oh. Hey, why don't you go outside and play for a while? How would you like a candy bar? And we'll forget this ever happened. I'm not advocating for that. It's embarrassing. It's humbling. Well, don't talk that way to your elders. And maybe they presented it in a childish or maybe even disrespectful way. But if they're right, they're your child and you still don't want to listen. Do you want to change? Especially, again, if they lack the perfect tact or humility themselves. We don't want to change. What about when that deeply flawed friend of yours offers you some advice that you need? They have so many problems, and then they dare to offer you some help. Are you excited to follow it? Not really. Just like children, because they're sinners, just like children tend to rebel against their parents, you and I have rebellious tendencies that keep us from being teachable. We must have a submissive attitude. Submission to authority is paramount, and we know this. We talk about this every once in a while. And in the services, we're familiar with this idea. Submission to authority is key. It's paramount. It's the first kind of submission. It's the most important kind. But it's not the only kind of submission in the Christian life, in the Christian's life. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Notice the subjection and submission with humility. It goes hand in hand. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I am taking personal responsibility for my life, and that means I don't care where the truth comes from, where the knowledge comes from. I want the knowledge. So what if that person who's obnoxious gives me something that I need, or my child who doesn't do it the right way? So what? I need it. I want it. I'm happy to admit that I need it, and I want my life to get better. I want to grow. I want to please the Lord more. So I am going to humble myself and submit to whatever channel the Lord chooses to teach me. Teachable attitude. We also need right priorities if we're going to have a teachable attitude. Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father." There is personal responsibility, humility, and submission. And then he says, "And attend to no understanding." The word "attend" is usually used with the word "to." Attend to something. Attend to. And that two-word phrase means to listen, to regard with attention. It's also translated to mark and give heed, to incline. And we do this naturally when there's something that we didn't quite hear. What was that? We kind of cock our head a little bit. What did you say? We're attending to it. We're listening carefully. We're locked in. I missed it the first time. Or this is going to be really good. They're going to say something that I need to hear. I am focused. I am attending to it. Solomon says, attend to no understanding. This requires focus. And focus requires what we might call discriminatory attention. Focus is saying, I am giving my attention to one thing only. All other things I am refusing to give my attention to. They will not have it. They are lesser. I am giving my attention to this one thing. I am focused. Not attend to is not, well, we'll see. I'll kind of skim over it mentally. I'll kind of listen to half of it. We'll see if it's worth my time. And then, yeah, I'll listen. No, he says, attend to no understanding. I'm focused. I am locked in. You ignore other things to focus on the most important thing. Right priorities. Attend to no understanding. Being teachable is not convenient. It's not comfortable. And I think we can all say that from experience. I know I can. Being teachable is not comfortable. I don't like to admit, and I already have tonight. Maybe it would defeat the statement I'm going to make now. I don't like to admit that I'm deficient. I like to know enough. I like to know more than the next person. I like to know just enough to do my job in a great way. I like to be there. It's not fun to admit that I don't. It's not fun to admit that I missed something. It's not fun to admit that as hard as I try, I don't have all that I need. But I need to have right priorities. I have to be intentional. Are your priorities right in God's sight? You might think that they're right. I might think that they're right. But what does God think? If our priorities aren't right, then we probably won't realize that we're not teachable. And let me explain this. You have five priorities. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's the order. And 1 is first, and 2 is second, and 3 is third, and you've got them in the right order. And so priority number 4, here's an opportunity, but you say, nope, that's number 4. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm focused on number 1 because I have my priorities in the right order. But what if God wants What if in God's eyes your priorities are 4, 4, 5, 3, 1, 2? Now he's giving you instruction for what your proper priority ought to be, but that's number 4 on your list. You're not listening. And so we can ignore it. We can say, I don't need that. We can say, I think I should focus on this instead. I hear you, but that's not right. This is more important. What does God say? If our priorities aren't right, we probably won't realize that we're not teachable. And you're still in Psalm 139. Look at verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." That is transparency right there. And it's good to invite God to do that. He already knows. But there's a big difference between saying, oh yeah, God already knows, and inviting God, Lord, examine me, search me, try me, put me to the test, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, because I want to be teachable. There are two things here, and I need to get them in the right order. Verse 24, wicked ways and the way everlasting. I need to get those in the right order. And so, Lord, you identify the one, and I'll get rid of it. You help me get rid of it. And you identify the other and lead me in it. I'll follow you. I admit I don't know everything. I don't know my own heart. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9 says, Lord, search me, teach me, show me. I'll follow. Right priorities. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that attitude in Psalm 19:14 should be expressed to the Lord every single day. Lord, I want you to be pleased with my heart, my thoughts, my words. If we express that, it will keep us stirred up in the spirit of Sunday night's message. Lord, today I want my thoughts and my words and my deeds to please you. Those are my priorities. So if I'm out of line, if I'm misunderstanding, if I'm taking yesterday's plan and making it today's when you want a different plan, you teach me, you show me, because I want your will to be done. I want you to be pleased. Right priorities. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll see the next thing in verse 2. Proverbs 4, verse 2 says, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. The next thing in a teachable attitude is gratitude. Solomon says, I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. This is good teaching. And Solomon, of course, is being led by the Holy Spirit to write this. He's not just praising himself. This is true. These are true words. He says, I give you good doctrine. It is easy to fail to appreciate instruction that others provide for us. It's good instruction and we don't appreciate it because maybe we don't see a specific need for the instruction. We can be complacent. I don't really think I need that. That's nice, but I don't need that. I'm complacent. Maybe we don't think we need help. And that's pride. I don't need their help. I can do it on my own. Maybe we don't think the instruction is valuable or helpful. That doesn't add anything, and we can be indifferent. That's not helpful to my life. We can think that the source is incredible or flawed. They're not credible. They're flawed. And we've talked about this already. We can have a scornful or critical spirit. Oh, did you hear what they said? You should check out what they did over here. We don't have to listen to that. We need to be grateful. It's easy to fail to appreciate what God provides for us through others. And Solomon is imploring his son to appreciate his children here too, to appreciate the good doctrine that he is offering them. Doctrine is training and teaching. It's instruction and learning. It's knowledge. This is good stuff I'm giving you. You need to be grateful for this. If we're not grateful for what we're receiving, we won't be teachable. We won't absorb it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you would please, Deuteronomy
32. This is the first appearance of the word doctrine in the Bible. And I found it interesting to see how it's integrated with other concepts here. Deuteronomy 32:1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." There's a lot of teachability here that's needed. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." This is Moses talking. This is a song that he's teaching them. "Give ear, I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Wow, that person has an exalted opinion of themselves. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." And then he explains it, "because I will publish the name of the Lord." The basis for value in this doctrine is God himself. We are quick to discredit advice and undermine instruction because we think we don't need it or that the other person isn't qualified to give it. Instead, we should be grateful for it to whatever extent that it lifts up God and truth. We find many object lessons in creation. And it's not the same thing as inspired scripture. You can look at creation and interpret things wrong. You can get the wrong idea because creation is not the same as inspired scripture. But there are still elements of truth found in scripture, and so we are found in creation, and found in others' words. A lost person can give you truth. It might be accidental. The Lord might be using them in spite of themselves. But we can still appreciate and receive it to the extent that it lines up with scripture and exalts God. And I notice how each of these elements in Proverbs 4, verses 1 and 2, each of these elements of a teachable attitude, personal responsibility, and then humility, and then submission, and then right priorities, and then gratitude, each one builds on the previous. We need to have a teachable attitude. Turn back to Proverbs 4, and we'll see verses 3 and 4. We'll finish up here in just a few moments. Proverbs 4, verse 3 says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Another part of a teachable attitude is trust. Solomon continues to make his case and make his plea to his son Rehoboam by reminding Rehoboam who his grandparents are. "You remember, Rehoboam, my son, I learned from my father," and he mentions his mother, Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba were Solomon's parents and Rehoboam's grandparents. And Solomon is saying to him, "These aren't just my ideas. I was taught some very important things by my father who also knew the Lord." It would have been easy for Solomon to tell the story that's recorded in 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 14. And we won't turn there for sake of time. But God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "I don't know, I'm a child. I don't know how to go out and come in." Now, I think he was speaking truthfully. But if we compare Solomon to other men in his time, I don't think he was a child in that sense. I think he was a wise man and a discerning man. He'd been taught by David. He'd learned a lot of things. But he compared himself to God and to God's work. And he said, "I'm not up to it. I'm not enough. I'm a child." And God gave him wisdom. He said, "I've given thee a wise and an understanding heart." And Solomon could have said to Rehoboam, "Rehoboam, you need to listen to me because God gave me a wise and understanding heart. Let me just show you my wisdom. I am a really..." Because God did it. He could have said that. But he didn't here. Instead, he points to what his father taught him. And David's reputation was well known. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. Samuel is speaking to Saul, and he says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who knew God. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 4 to 18, the Lord appears to the prophet, I think it's Gad, if I remember right. Maybe it's Nathan, actually. The prophet Nathan. And God tells Nathan, go to David and tell him, God doesn't want you to build a temple for God. David's son is going to do that. But here's what God will do for you. God will preserve your throne. God will make you powerful. God will preserve your kingdom. God will do all these things for you. That's no light thing. David's reputation was well known. He wasn't perfect, but he was a man of God. God blessed him. And Solomon is saying, remember, I learned it from a man of God. Trust. He's imploring Rehoboam to trust God. Solomon's deeds, of course, and wisdom were unmistakably God-led, at least for a while. We know that Solomon didn't end well. He married many pagan women, and he didn't end up in a good place. And those were his poor choices. But I believe when he wrote this, he was still being faithful to the Lord. 1 Kings 3:28, it says, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." If we're going to be teachable, it means that we're trusting God to teach us. We're not trusting the human. Well, that human has problems, and that human didn't present it the right way, and that human did this over. No, we're not trusting the human. We're trusting God. So, God, I am going to subject myself and trust you to use your channels to teach me. Solomon is counseling Rehoboam in part to heed his instruction because God's hand has led hitherto. David says in Psalm 16:5, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." He's saying, Solomon is saying in Proverbs 4, he's saying, Rehoboam, I didn't get all of this on my own, and you can't obtain everything on your own. You need to listen to me, but not just because it's me. Your godly grandfather and grandmother raised me and taught me. It worked for them, and it works for me, and it will work for you. God's truth is worth following. Examine our lives and verify what God has done for us. Trust that God has taught us and trust him to teach you through us. Be grateful for how God has helped us and prepared us to help you. If you're going to be teachable, you're trusting God to teach you through his designated channels. Hebrews 13:7 refers to this as well. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." It's not based on man's words. I hope that you know this. I think you do. We're not teachable to man's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. That's what we're trusting. "Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow." You can see God work in their life, and that helps you to trust God to use them to teach you. Do you have a teachable attitude? If you don't have a teachable attitude, then you won't be teachable. The life-giving truths of God will pass before your eyes during your morning Bible reading, and you will not notice or understand them. The God-given instruction through his chosen vessels will enter your ears and go unheeded. The God-sent life-giving help will fall by the wayside, and you will pass on into failure. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." I can figure it out on my own. I already know. I don't need it. You pass on and you're punished. We need to be teachable. We all need to be taught. Will you have a teachable attitude by taking personal responsibility to hear instruction? Will you be humble to receive it? Will you submit to applying it? Will you have the right priorities to ignore distractions and focus on instruction? Will you be grateful for biblical instruction in every form? Will you trust God to teach you through his chosen channels? If we are not teachable, we will not be fruitful. We will not experience God's best. We will not remain in God's will. It begins with a teachable attitude. And next week, we're going to look at the outward and active parts of teachability. I want you to grasp this. If God's people are teachable in attitude and in activity, there is no limit to what God can do through them. If you will be teachable, if I will be teachable, there is no limit to what God can do through us. He wants to teach us. He is a faithful teacher. He knows how to communicate to us. It is we who limit it. May God give us a hunger to see him accomplish this in our lives. I don't know all of the things that God could do with me if I were only willing, but I'd like to find out. I'd like to put that to the test, and I hope you would as well. But we need to be teachable. That's where it starts. Let's pray. Lord, help us.